Welcome to Sexology, a podcast that untangles the science of sex and pleasure. And now, with this week's episode, your host, clinical psychologist, Dr. Nazanin Moali.
Hello there. Welcome to episode 401 of the Sexology podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Nazanin Moali, and today we're diving into a topic that's often surrounded by myths and misconceptions, anal sex. But before I jump into that, I got a new free offering for you. Many of you have been wondering, how do I know if I have erectile dysfunction and what's causing it? And what should I do next? So I put together this free quiz offering that give you all the information you need to figure out what is causing your erectile dysfunction, erectile unpredictability, and what do you need to do next? The link is in the show notes. Our guest today is Dr. Evan Goldstein, the go-to anal health expert in the U.S. and the brains behind Future Method. Dr. Goldstein is a top doc in the New York metro area and notable LGBTQ plus leader, according to Crain New York Business. His expertise have been featured in the major publications like GQ, Men's Health, Forbes, and more. He's a sought-after speaker in the both medical and sex-positive circles. In today's episode, we're going to cover what you need to know about anal sex from a medical perspective to keep it safe and healthy, the different ways people can find pleasure through anal play, and how it's different from person to person. We're going to talk about tips for making anal sex more pleasurable and less painful. And we're going to talk about anal orgasm and how you can work toward having one. Stick around as we uncover the mysteries of anal health and pleasure, equipping you with the knowledge and tips for a safe and enjoyable time. Trust me, this is an episode you won't want to miss. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Sexology Podcast. We are so excited to welcome back Dr. Evan Goldstein. Dr. Goldstein, welcome to our show.
Thanks for having me again.
I am so excited about this conversation. I know that you just published your book. It's such a wonderful, comprehensive book. And I'm excited to do the part two of this writing. What led you to write the book about this?
I didn't even know how detailed writing a book was. Oh my God, I don't know if I would have done it again. But I just felt like it was time. You know, I had 15 years in practice. I built my brand, Bespoke Surgical. I launched a products company, Future Method. And I just felt as if, especially with the divisive world that we live in, that sexual education is such on the back burner, and understandings of specifically anal sex, let alone gay sex, is so not out there, that I figured it was just time to really look at all of that, put it into writing, allow people access. And people fly from all over the world to see me, but a lot of people don't have access to this type of care. And so the issue for me is, how do you educate people to prevent issues? But then if issues arise, how do you learn to take care of it on your own and or seek professionals that would be able to take care of it? So It's awesome, you know, especially to just give the Bible of what I do day to day to people so that they can empower themselves from a sexual perspective. It's such an amazing ride for me.
It is a great resource. Congratulations on that, because it has so many different detail points that many people have questions about, but they don't have accurate information about it. And I think it's a different... It's different if people hear it from a medical professional versus a coach. So one of the things that people have reservation about is the quote-unquote damages in physiological part of body. So from the medical perspective, what are the key things you invite people to know about anal sex if they want to enjoy it in a safe and a healthy way?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's first, especially from the book perspective, we kind of look back and but seriously at like, how do you first look at your own phobias, right? Your own myths, your own taboos. You know, many people think that anal sex is painful, or that anal sex, you should bleed and bleeding is normal, Or if I enjoy some form of anal play, am I gay? Or, you know, all these components. And so you start to kind of like allow people to look first at yourself to then say, hey, I do want to engage anally. How do I do it safely, right? People also think like, oh, if I'm engaging anally, I'm going to poop on the street because I'm going to be too loose. And you think you have to like work on that. And you're like, no, the area anally is such a positive erogenous zone. Men or people born with prostates, prostate is a super powerful orgasm that most people don't know where it is and or how to isolate it specifically anally. In non-prostate bearing, there's what's called the A zone, which is super amazing because the pressures and the positive nerve endings support amazing vaginal, you know, and cervical stimulation and all of those components. So again, I think it's people think you can go from nothing to something big. People think you can just go directly into anal. And the key, especially in the book, was how do you learn your own anatomy? How do you explore yourself on your own to understand what type of anatomy and mental physiological components you have? And then how do you set the stage for success? And it's not just shove it in. It takes 4 to 6 weeks of dilating. It takes for you to understand your anatomy of skin and muscle and all of those components that go into it.
And you're absolutely right. There are so many myths. I find it's one of those topics that people are very curious about and they're very misinformed. So about kind of like being too loose, that's a number one question I get. Like, oh my God, I lose. Are you sure people are not losing their bowel movement? Tell us about that. Why not?
Sure. So a couple of things I think to understand. Anatomy itself, there's a ton of muscle in that space. Now, specifically in the male pelvis, there is way too much muscle. Now, female pelvis has less muscle there because of pregnancy and the ability to relax the pelvis. So I do a lot of work with anal Botox and relaxing the muscle because many people are way too tight. They are having problems even with bowel movements where it tears, it can cause what's called a fissure and limitations. So the key is to kind of understand, first of all, most people have ton of muscle that even if we start run-of-the-mill anal play, the muscle has the capacity to go all the way back. And I tell people, think about we're sitting all day. We poop for a very short period of time. 99.9% of the day, your entire pelvis is completely clamped down. We do Peloton or we're doing, you know, Barry's boot camp and we're doing squats, all of that stuff. But yet we never, most people don't ever dilate or stretch the pelvic floor, even vaginally. A lot of that is with when you're looking at vaginal pelvic pain and you're looking at all of these components. So we have so much room. Now, if you are using crazy big toys, if you're, you know, there's a trauma or rape situation, or if there's, of course, there are definitely times where the muscle can become too elastic. But at the end of the day, it is the bare minimum of people that I see. And nowadays, there's so many things that we can do from Kegels to certain machines to certain surgical techniques, if that were to be an issue. I think the key is to understand the right way to engage. And that was the whole impetus of the book, which is to say, okay, I'm telling you, you're not going to be loose. Now you need to actually do the right things to manage the right sexual approaches so that you don't have complications. And that's where we go into a lot of the things of if you're doing a toy and this happens, what do we need to do? And all of that type of stuff.
I think it's such an important point for people to keep in mind about preparation. I know that even many colleagues, they recommend using finger. But I know that when we talked about it last time, you said that's just not the best tool. The best tool is sex toys out there or dilators out there.
Yeah. You know, fingering is really good, I think, from an external play. I think that the reality is that everyone, even if I tell them not to finger, they're going to finger. But there's certain things that I think you need to understand. Fingers, some people have dirty fingers. Also, they have nails. So really make sure that you trim the nails. Most fingers are obviously they're kind of jointed. So a lot of people love to kind of pluck instead of the true finger. Also, it's hard to finger yourself. The angle is weird. And then when someone else is fingering you, you're basically being submissive in that act. So a lot of times I see people getting tearing and injuries, or the person just thinks that, oh, they can just shove it in there. And that was what was so cool about writing the book too. We have like top tips that allow people that even if they're not engaging anally, if they are, you know, topping and or the one that's giving, how do you do it safely? How do you understand your partner's anatomy? How do you understand how they relax? How do you make sure that things are really well lubricated? So I usually tell people, if someone's never engaged anally and they want to, an anal dilating kit is key. With my brand Future Method, I didn't see any that was out there that I loved for dilating to really get the muscles and the skin to fully understand the capacity. So we developed it, and we developed a glass dilating kit that's a small, medium, and large. And the component, it's a 6-week protocol of dilating. 2 weeks of the small toy, 2 weeks of the small leading into the medium and gradually working. And it's not like anything different than going to the gym. Give me 2 days, 2 sets of 12. Yes, you can use it sexually. You want to get off and use it sexually, great. But the component is, how do I get the skin to toughen, get strong, especially in women? I talk a lot in here about women's skin and trans male to female, the estrogens and all of that. The skin is so beautiful, but it's thin. And so what winds up happening is you get a lot more tearing in that space. So the component is, how do we look at muscle and how do we look at skin? And by using these toys in a very gradual way, we're strengthening the skin, we're making the skin more elastic in a good way to accommodate, and you're learning how to utilize all of those muscles in the right way so that you're able to take exactly what you need.
Amazing. So there are tools out there, and I also hear that the best one are the glass one. I know your brand has a great kind of like different products that I know last time I was gifted to, which is wonderful. When it comes to anal sex, most people think about kind of like full penetration with penis. That's what they think about when they think about anal sex, but it's one option in the menu of anal play.
Totally.
What else is out there?
Yeah, I mean, I think everything, you know, I try to tell people, stop thinking about anal and start thinking about pleasure, right? Just in general, in anything, right? Some people it's armpits, some people it's ass, some people it's feet, right? I think in all of that, and we categorize, and then it's like this kind of no homo component. Like, if anyone goes near my ass, am I gay? Or, oh my God, and like, that needs to be stopped, right? And it all just depends upon what you feel comfortable doing. Some people it's just external play, whether it's analingus or licking, whether it's just stimulation externally. Some people do vibrators that are just on the external pelvis to get the sensations. Obviously, there's penetration in many different forms, whether it's through tongue, whether it's through different toys, whether it's through pegging and or full penetration, right? All of those components, anything is game. Some people are into fisting. Some people are into huge different types of toys or things that you and I may not necessarily say this is the best thing to shove up your ass. But at the end of the day, I support everybody, right? So there's so many ways to stimulate that region. And that region has so many positive nerve endings in that space. And especially in the hetero world, you know, the hetero guys are just so anti-anal play. Most of them, though we're starting to see more and more that realize when you start to stimulate the prostate and you get that prostate filled in the way that anal stimulation does, their orgasms are just that much greater, where now people are then like, oh, fuck, I definitely want to engage anally. So I think, again, it's really cool because it's like your podcast and the book that I'm writing and all these things that are trying to just push the narratives so that people just stop labeling and just start looking into what makes me feel good.
Absolutely. It's all about pleasure. And as long as it's consensual between people, there are so many different ways to engage and enjoy sex. And there's no quote unquote right or wrong way of doing it unless, I don't know, if it's non-consensual. The other thing that I'm curious about is that for majority of women that they don't have prostate, like a cisgender woman,
yeah,
the part that's most sensitive is the beginning of anus. And for men, that part and the kind of close to prostate, is that the most popular erogenous zone, or there are other erogenous zone within the area that people need to know about?
I think that entire area is an erogenous zone. You know, everybody defines, and even in the book, we speak a lot of the P spot for people that have prostate, or the A spot for people that don't. You know, some people even think of, especially in female, of the posterior clitoris, that the clitoris, there's actually a stimulation towards the back, closer anally. When you think of anal sex, especially in cis women, the reality is that the entry is super sensitive and super powerful because it's really just the innate nature of skin, right? When you go further in, it's what's called mucosa. It's a different type of tissue. That tissue is more sensitive towards pressure. And so that's where a lot of it is specific angles towards the vagina, towards the cervix, towards the uterus. When you're engaging in certain ways, we talk a lot about different positions in the book, and we give it different peaches, one peach, two peach, three peaches. And that's just kind of the basic of what we want people to start with in the beginning. And then it goes over moderate to more advanced. And with that, you have to explore, you know, and that's why I say, like, you know, using the glass dilators or popping into dildos and choosing different positions and seeing different angles, even in a certain position, just by moving your pelvis or by moving the toy or by the other partner moving in a different direction, you're able to start to figure out your own pelvis, your own anatomy, and also your own pleasure zones, because everybody is different.
I agree with you. And I think even through different chapters of life, different seasons of life, the sensitivity of different parts can change. And there's even, because of how so many people think it's taboo, there is this even psychological arousal for many people as well that's paired to it. When it comes to kind of one-on-one lessons of anal sex, we hear that, like, people need to go super slow, use a good lube and dilators, like making sure you're preparing your body. What else would you add to these suggestions?
Yeah, I think that, you know, in the book, we break down three different types of bottoms. About a third of people in the world are able to relax the muscle and their skin without a problem. And I really don't see them in the office, right? They're not really getting injured because they're able to do whatever. Two thirds of people can't. And when they can't do that, well, what is the issue? And I say to people, think about it. There's three sets of muscles in everybody's ass. There's two on the outside, one internally. Now, if you squeeze your ass right now, and if you're listening, your listeners, squeeze your ass, you're squeezing the outside two. The third one is what you and I can't necessarily control. That's the one where a lot of people are like, I feel like I'm relaxed, but I can't get the toy. I can't get the penis. I can't get in. That third one is the one that we're really learning how to train. And we're also learning, how do we get all three of them to actually function as a unit, because they're all individually working. So I tell people, sex is not overtly very complicated. It's skin, it's muscle, and it's the psychology of that, like you mentioned, right? And in the book, we go into, how do you know which type of bottom you are? Well, that's through self-play, right? That's through using glass dilators or dilators in a way to understand, okay, which category am I in? Now, if you've done that and over 6 weeks, you're able to take a small toy, the medium into large, and you feel super comfortable and you're like, okay, honey, tonight's the night, stick it in. It's bring the glass dilators into your sex play, or use the glass dilators before you start to engage. It pre-lubricates you. It pre-dilates you. And many people, they use it because they want to also see that they're clean either before douching or after if they are going to douche, right? So all of those factors. Then it's like, okay, honey, I'm basically going to use their dick or their toy if they're pegging as a dilator. So get them hard, let them lay down on the bed on their back, and you are in control on top, facing them. Obviously, a lot of lube. And just like you would do with the dilators, same concept, understanding that we're going to hit the first muscle first, relax, take it out, relubricate, do it again. Then we're going to go muscle one into muscle two. And it's a slow transition. But by then, you would have learned how to perfect that by doing the glass or the toys before for that 6-week process. Once you're on and you feel comfortable and you're both communicating, right? You want to find a partner that is communicative. You obviously are consensual. You're able to face each other. Are you grimacing? Are they grimacing? Is there pain? Is there irritation? Is there bleeding? The first couple of times are a little bit more mechanical than sexual, but it's on purpose because we need to make sure that you're able to do what you need to do. And then if you're successful and you're like, this is starting to feel great, then you're in control. Don't be submissive. You can ride, you can do. And then as you see in the book, we go over the different positions. You can start to go to what from one peach to two peach and choose a different position that is a little bit more of a moderate position. How do I change my pelvis? How do I think differently? How do I position myself? And allow yourself to kind of get into a good space so that it's empowering and that you feel really good. Or I tell people, like in the book, like when to know when to stop, when to know that that thing that you thought you were going to have fun with is too big and that you have to go back and do more dilating work into dildos that are more the size. Less is always more. And it's a very gradual progression, specifically with anal. The people that get hurt, they go from nothing to something big too fast, or they jump too fast from one size to another. It is all a gradual, gradual process.
Okay, let's be real. Who wouldn't want better sex? I mean, like, who wouldn't want to start having better sex right now? The easiest way to get started? Just head over to adamandeve.com. They're seriously the best trusted name in adult products. And they're offering an amazing deal just for you. You can get 50% off almost any item when you're using my code SEXOLOGY, SEXOLOGY. And that's not even the best part. You'll also get free discreet shipping and rush processing. Like, they're not messing around. Your package will get there fast and nobody will know what's inside. Whether you're looking for a fun new toy or something else to get things spicy in the bedroom, Adam and Eve's got your back, and it's all just a few clicks away. So go to adamandeve.com. Pick something exciting and use code SEXOLOGY at checkout for 50% off and free shipping with rush processing. Don't miss out. Better sex is literally just a click away.
I love that kind of like thinking about getting to know your body better and kind of going through this gradual process and kind of exploring with one peach when you get the book and then kind of building up to more. For many people, they are into fisting. And no matter what we say, it doesn't necessarily make a difference for people. But is it safe medically? Does it have like, it can, is there a way that people can do it safer?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I think the fisting community is amazing. I rarely see them. And I'll explain. They are, for the most part, in that 1/3 of the population that can fully open and be super comfortable in that space. Now, the fisting community understands this book so well because they understand their anatomy. They're also, the person that is fisting is so communicative, is so supportive. That community, I rarely see. Now, I am starting to see more because a lot of younger kids are getting into fisting very early on. And what happens is that their muscle is not as developed. So what happens is they can get more looseness or laxity. Now, the fisting side, people will freak out. They're like, oh, fisting. It's this takeoff and the landing for fisting, meaning the first 3 to 5 centimeters is where those three muscles that we were speaking about lie. After that, it basically, the rectum and the colon is quite big. It has so much room. So it's literally when you're going in, realistically, it's basically the wrist that is needing to learn to accommodate. Yes, the fingers, but most people are using it in a way that allows all of that to fully open and dilate. Now, there's certain things we do, like in my practice at Bespoke, we do manometry testing, and especially in the fisting community, we do that once a year or every other year to measure the pressures. When we say everyone has an optimal anal pressure for the best possible sex, I want to know what that is. So if someone comes to me and they're like, Evan, I'm getting fisted. I feel fucking awesome. I'm in a great space. Great. We measure the pressure because now I know what that pressure is. If it starts getting too tight, if it starts getting too loose and we start deviating, there's things that I can do because now I know what their optimal pressure is, whether it's Kegels, whether it's certain toys that create stimulation. There's a chair that we use in the office for a lot of porn stars or fisters where it's called the Emcella. A lot of people use it for vaginal, especially post-pregnancy, for vaginal looseness or urinary issues. And it's basically the 12,000 Kegels in 28 minutes. And it's not just isolated like the Kegels that we do. It really gets the entire pelvic floor. So there's lots. I think that, again, if fisting is part of your desire, let's make it happen. The key is to do it safely and to understand. Maybe that's book number two. It's like, you know, it's like, but seriously, part two, we're taking fists, you know? We go into it, into the book. But the main focus, obviously, is hitting all the aspects of anal as we're going about.
Well, I really like your sex positive approach, right? Like giving permission to people to enjoy what they're into just in a way that works for them. And thank God there are just so many medical interventions that people can do to address any concern that they have, especially if they're working with someone that's have specialized experiences and tons of experience like yourself. So when it comes to the kind of like aesthetic, like a beauty kind of thing that people can do, we hear a lot about bleaching. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So the ass is where the sun doesn't shine, right? A lot of people, even though sunning right now anally is definitely in vogue. But when you look at we wipe, a lot of people are using wet wipes that they shouldn't. A lot of people are using creams that really don't belong in that space or don't shower at night and or clean themselves in a way from a hygiene perspective. And that region starts to develop really more dark spots or darkened tissue in that space. So a lot of it is, yes, bleaching is definitely part, whether you're doing bleaching with certain chemicals or certain creams that are out there. Most people are using what's called hydroquinone, or kind of a more natural approach to that. And there are creams that are out there. We use a lot of creams in the office for people that want to brighten that space. When you see a bleached hole that is like so perfect and everything in that is, it's such a beautiful thing, right? I'm obviously an ass man, but there are definitely people that want that and in a way. And so you can either do creams. We do a lot of free initial consultation. Just like teeth whitening, mm-hmm. You're able to kind of choose a shade and we're able to say what's the butt color and kind of work into that space. So there's lots that can be done. I think the key first needs to be, look, aesthetics, it's always a fine balance. I don't love, you know, it's like some people are like, oh, well, Evan, you're pushing the aesthetics because it's like what you do. And it's like, no. People come to me with the smallest tags or a hemorrhoid or post-pregnancy. They have something going in and out of their ass. And it may not even be that they want to engage anally. They want to engage vaginally, but they just don't feel sexy. Or they want to wear a G-string or sexy underwear and it irritates them, right? Or even the G-string where a lot of dancers, I see a lot of Broadway dancers wear dance belts and those create friction. Well, what happens to the skin? lots of things happen, whether it's discoloration or extra tissue in the space. So the reality is that it does impact people. It impacts people functionally. It impacts people psychologically and mentally. And it impacts sexually, whether it's vaginal sex, whether it's oral sex, whatever that is. And so the reality is I see so many people in the office that come from other physicians that is like, oh, who cares how it looks? Like, why would you care? Just forget it. Oh, anal sex hurts because of the friction of that extra tissue. Like, then don't have anal sex. And you're like, those are not appropriate responses, right? We should understand our clients and our consumers and our patients. We should ask the right sexual questions. We should make sure that you understand and have access to the care. And then if things do bother you, we need to come up with solutions to make sure that you are taken care of and that your desire is met. And that's really what was, the impetus of But Seriously and also Bespoke Surgical and Future Method, which was like, how do I just meet people where they are, right? No stigma, no judgment, nothing. It's like, this is what you want. This is what we can do to get you there. And it's super empowering. I mean, and it gives me, I mean, you could see, I mean, the passion that I have day in and day out, I don't care that I fix people's asses, whether I fix their face, their boobs, their ass. It's the people behind it, literally, that when someone is able to engage the way they want to, or they're able to be relevant in a community, or they're able to have sex with their partner that they've never been able to do and feel that intimacy, it means the world. It's so empowering for me, you know, let alone their ass.
I think that's such an important, meaningful work. And when you were talking about people going to some physician, I see that with psychologists as well. When people have their own biases, right? Like it comes through. Like when you are doing consultation with clients and it's just so hard for people to talk about sex. And that can be a shaming experience, right? And thinking about, oh, that's just not necessary. Or like, you know, this is something that it's normal to be painful. So all of those negative messaging can, on shame messaging that providers have, it can get transferred to a client. So it's so wonderful that you have the book, you have the practice, so people can get the answers regardless of if they are able to come to your practice or not. One of the things that I hear a lot and I know is big part of, so people have this reservation about hygiene, which we talked about it in depth and previous interview. And my understanding is the big part of it is your diet, right? There is no magic solution. It's more about proper kind of like cleaning the area with water and having good diet. What is a good diet for anal?
Yeah. So, you know, again, I think it's, I want people to eat what they want to eat in life, but clearly we know there are certain foods that people have irritable issues. For me, it's certain Chinese foods with more, you know, spices. For others, it could be Chipotle or fast foods, right, with the fats, right? So again, I think it's everybody doing basically a GI diet and diary of understanding your own so that you're able to start to figure out. What do we know? We know that higher protein diets bulk the stool more. We know that fiber is super, super important, and pre and probiotics and things to kind of congeal. I say, you know, when you look at most dogs and they poop, they usually don't need to wipe their ass and the poop is perfect. And you say, well, why is that? And mostly is obviously the food that they're eating. And the key is, especially in Western diets, is how do you either interject fiber appropriately with protein and leafy greens? And we go over a lot of this stuff in the book, but it's also to look at what really responds well to you. I always tell people, think of gut health first before butt health. Why is that? Well, because most people are douching for sex. And when you're douching, you're changing the microbiome. You're making a lining that has a protective component. You're actually dismantling that. And when you dismantle that, you have a higher risk of issues, whether it is STDs, HIV, HPV, herpes, whether it is just tearing and hemorrhoids. Many people overdouche, or they're using non-solicited products, whether it's enemas or water. And that was actually the birth of Future Method, was how do we just put a product to support people douching? Even though I'm a douche company and I don't want people to douche, I want them to use the fiber and the premium probiotic and all of these components where you're looking at your diet and saying, how do I? Because if you understand your anatomy, stool is much higher than where we are having anal sex. When you feel like you have to poop, it's because the poop moved down into what's called the rectum. And all the muscles sense that. It now tells your body you need to go to the bathroom. And if you have an appropriately formed stool and you are going to the bathroom in a regular manner, that area is actually clean. And I remember in medical school that my teacher was like, let's go outside and just have anal sex with 10 random people on the street. 9 out of 10 will be completely clean. And so that component is the gut health before butt health. Because if your gut health is appropriate, you then are going to douche less. I know you're not going to listen to me and still douche. So the key is adding your douche less times, use a solution like our powder pack with Future Method, something that allows you to neutralize that so you don't alter the microbiome and strip the lining and create an environment that is sexy and silky and free of any accidents, if that is. And then also, how do we just not shame having an accident, right? I mean, I think that is like, you know, anal sex, vaginal sex, there's stuff that happens. And sometimes people even pee and urine and all of these components come into that. How do we normalize that that is also potential in this and make sure that everybody's aware of all those things?
Absolutely. Kind of go back to communication and also kind of like being more comfortable around sex. There's no quote unquote perfect way of doing anything sexually, anything in life and also sexually, right? So we do our best for preparation and the key is like focusing on pleasure. You talked about hemorrhoid a few times. You mentioned it. If people have hemorrhoid, is that something that you recommend them to address before engaging anally?
So it really depends. So a couple of things. People think that, oh, I have a hemorrhoid. Well, everybody has hemorrhoids. They're all normal. They're there for a reason. And they're basically the airbags to the ass. So let's say we're taking a shit and we're constipated, or we're going to the bathroom normally, or we're having anal sex. Well, what happens? Blood goes into these hemorrhoids and it acts like an airbag. It's a cushion. Because any act has pressure, especially sex, the body puts blood there. And in theory, what it does is it decreases the pressure so that when you go to the bathroom, you don't tear anything. Now, if you're shitting too much, if you're pushing too much, constipated, if you're at the gym and you're lifting incorrectly, if you're having anal sex and you're really not prepared, too less, well, what's happening? It's all about friction. So the body senses that and sends more blood there. More blood. And then what people start getting is what's called symptomatic hemorrhoids, where it either clots and you get this grape kind of in that space, which can be super painful, or it stretches the skin so much that people bleed, or it's there and it doesn't go away. The mechanism of blood going and blood leaving fails, that now you basically have something that is swelling in that area every time you poop or have sex. Now, if someone has a hemorrhoid, a symptomatic hemorrhoid, can you have anal sex or do stuff sexually? I think the answer is yeah. I definitely see people with that. I think that's where self-exploration again comes into play. And we talk about, obviously, like if you are engaging anally and hemorrhoids happen in the book, like what are the things that you could do over the counter, quick and easy to mitigate it so it doesn't become a chronic issue? Now, there are many people that have symptomatic hemorrhoids where they're just going in and out and they're still enjoying sex life completely. And I say to people, yeah, I think the key is use toys, prove to yourself that it feels good, no pain, no bleeding, and that you're in a good space. But we also want to monitor that because we want to monitor the progression of that. Because if you start to have symptoms where it's swollen or you can't engage anally because it's too painful, because it creates friction, a lot of people will then go to a practitioner and they'll put a rubber band on it, or they'll do an incorrect surgery, not asking you, hey, do I engage anally from an appropriate perspective? And then that surgery that does actually makes things worse. Many people come to me where they do rubber banding, and the reason why they develop the hemorrhoid is because their muscles are too tight. Now they have rubber banding done and they're even tighter. So a lot of it is, if you have a hemorrhoid and it's a bothersome issue, we need to address it. But we need to understand the sexual nature of where and what and how. We also need to understand your own anatomy. And I think differently. A lot of what my schooling was Doctor of Osteopathy, which was to kind of say, well, okay, great. Yeah, I can treat the hemorrhoid, but it's, why did the hemorrhoid actually develop, right? Why don't we first see if we can rectify that? Or if I need to do the hemorrhoid formal surgery or some aspect of it, how do we now say we don't ever want that again? Prevention. Do I need to do anal Botox to relax the muscle? Do I need to cut muscle? What are the certain things that I can do to allow you to never have that happen again and then allow you to get back into the sex game that you want? So it's not rocket science, but it's just thinking differently.
Awesome. Well, that's such a valuable information. And again, kind of going back into, you can address it, but I think what's more important is like to make peace with all of the negative emotion that comes with kind of these scripts of like, oh, I can't do this, or this is not something that's available to me. So many people were curious about anal orgasm. Is it similar feeling than different types of orgasms? Tell us about what do you see about that?
You know, I think, again, it's finding that A and P spot. And, you know, again, think about like regular run-of-the-mill sex. The prostate and prostate bearing starts to swell in a good way, and it basically forms. Remember, there's semen, right? And that is sperm plus prostatic juices. And the prostate swells with a lot of that fluid. And then when the orgasm happens, obviously it shoots everything, right? Now, when you're engaging in anal play, you're stimulating that prostate in a really good way. Though there are times where you can cause prostate issues from it. It's called prostatitis if certain positions or certain toys hit that in an aggressive way. So there's certain things, especially in the book, that we talk about of how do you minimize that. But direct stimulation of the prostate creates that much more of a sensation. And the same goes from an A-spot perspective. Even if you don't have a prostate, it starts to create a different component to that orgasm. And again, the key is to create all different sensations and all different orgasms, right? Whether you're getting a blowjob, whether you're getting vaginal penetration, whether it's anal, all of those are different, right? And they all change the way in which you get off. And that is so powerful. I think the key is to tap into that. And again, everyone always asks me, I think the key is it's so specific for every single person. But I do think that when you engage in that and when you tap into that, for so many people, it heightens their experiences and adds another arsenal to sexual exploration.
I love that. So if people are curious about you, about the book, where are some of the places that they can access those resources?
Yeah, so the book is called But Seriously. It's launching and I'm super proud and super excited. So that's butseriously.com, but you can get it on everything. Barnes & Noble, Hachette Group, which is my publisher, Grand Central Publishing, super amazing. Lots of bookstores and all of that. Bespoke Surgical is my surgical practice, and that's on all different channels on social and all the components there. For me, if you want to see like me, my kids, ass, sex, concerts, that's Dr. Dr. Evan Goldstein on Instagram. And then Future Method is kind of the science-based sex product company that we started. It's the Future Method on Instagram, but futuremethod.com. And then again, I think the key here is, especially with But Seriously, is for you to explore. And as you're exploring, you're going to hit certain components that will feel good and certain things that may not. And this allows you to understand those aspects. And then if you hit a wall where you're like, this sucks, there are certain things that we can do. And you can DM me, we can chat, we can meet. I do a lot of Zoom stuff. People fly in. I try to give people access to me so that they're able to get to exactly. I say to people all the time, you have one life in this world. I don't care what you shove up your ass and what you want to do sexually. the key is for you to be able to do it.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for that positive message. I have no doubt the book will do fantastic. And thank you so much on the show.
This was awesome. Cheers. Thank you so much.
I hope you guys found our conversation useful and you would consider getting Dr. Goldstein's book. I found it as a great resource and I've been recommending it to my clients in the last few months. It's been a few months since we recorded this episode and many of my clients, they found that all the questions they have about anal sex inside the book. I also have an episode we recorded a few years ago and it's been one of our number one episodes on anal sex. So if you need further information, you're curious to learn more, I leave a link for you in the show notes. Also, don't forget to download our free erectile functioning quiz or share it with your partner. So if you're struggling, you know what to do next. I included all the resources that I find useful with my own clients there. So you know exactly step by step what you need to do. All right. Thank you so much for tuning in. I will chat with you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Sexology Podcast. For more great content, visit www.sexologypodcast.com. Please be advised that information presented on this podcast is not a substitute for seeking help from a licensed mental health provider.